T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, my friends, welcome back for the second hour of At Your Service tonight. Dave Simons filling in. I am a certified financial planner, head of the Simons & Cordes Wealth Management Group, and an occasional guest host of this very show we have called At Your Service for lo these many years and decades. That was a very appropriate song there by the great band Styx, Fooling Yourself, because a lot of people do that to themselves when they invest. And in a little bit, not in the first few minutes, after we take a break a little bit later, and I'm going to come back and play you a podcast that I'm going to be releasing tomorrow on folks who kind of fool themselves into thinking that some dog of a stock that's sitting in their portfolio barking at them will somehow magically come back and make them a lot of money. And we all do it occasionally. And we need to get over that. Now, before we get there, I want to set something else up related to the stock market and an event that happened just today. Perhaps you heard about it. It brings politics and investing together, which is never a good thing, boys and girls. I have said that for the 30 years that I've been in this business, and I have tried to convince people to say, look, you can believe whatever you want politically. I don't care. Go on to the mountaintops and shout everything to do with the person that you are voting for and why this person will be a great president, senator, congressman, congresswoman, whatever. Not free country. But when it comes to actually setting your investment portfolio into its proper place to help you meet your long-term goals and objectives, the day that you bring politics front and center into your decision-making is a bad day. And I've seen it happen time and time and time again, and it's going to happen this year because it's obviously a big presidential election year. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know what, I think I just may cash out because if that person wins, this market's crashing. And it never does. Now, I'm not saying a president can't have an impact, obviously, on market directions. It's rarer than you think, but it can happen. But that takes time. What I'm referring to is the election itself and the immediate outcome. That is just not a market-moving event. It's not, and it won't be this time. Markets are a discounting mechanism. They can already tell what may or may not happen. Now, whoever wins in November, that person may have a positive or negative impact. But you know who's even more important in this is Congress. It depends on the makeup, the political makeup of both chambers. And even more important and powerful than them, the Fed. I think you know that by now, don't you? Especially since the days of Alan Greenspan. And that is a non-elected spot. So I guess in a way you could say, well, the president could have some influence that way by the person by who they might put in there. It's assumed, widely expected, that if Trump wins, Jay Powell is out of a job. It's assumed that if Joe Biden wins, Jay Powell gets to keep his job. We shall see. That's just kind of the assumption being made. But what happened today, bringing politics and investing, is Donald Trump's own stock and appropriately with the stock symbol of DJT. Well, of course it would. So what? This gets a little technical. I don't want to get it down into the weeds at all, but it has to do with these SPACs, these special purpose acquisition companies. And it started as, a company called Digital World Acquisition that was trading on the NASDAQ, waiting to merge with some unknown entity, and it finally has. It's basically, when you boil it down, it's Trump's social media site, True Social. And the company is Digital World, and that is snapped up by the parent company, Trump Media and Technology Group. Have I confused you yet? I told you, it gets really technical. Again, when we get to the simplistic part of this, DJT is now a stock, and it's Trump social media, and could be other media entities eventually get involved there or get added to the mix. So the stock trades for the first time today. It's basically, in its own way, an IPO, but it's not, because it gets back to that SPAC thing. Well, before this happened, I mean, we knew it was going to happen, and we knew the first day of trading would be today. But the original SPAC, the Digital World Acquisition Company, was already trading way up in anticipation that they would merge with Donald Trump's media company. So that stock's already going up. In today's frenzied first day, get this. The DJT stock at one point in its first day of trading was up 59%. You talk about a hot IPO. They don't get much hotter than that. Now, it had a big sell-off at the end of the day, like the kind of the overall market did. But DJT stock finished up 16%. So it finished up, but it's not 58%. At its high, it was trading at $79.35. It closed at $58. So somebody out there is already sitting on a $21 loss and lamenting their decision of buying when it was well into the 70s. Now, I give no recommendation on this, of course. I never give a buy, sell, or hold recommendation on anything on the public airwaves. All I would say is people who are buying into that stock, most of them are doing it for political reasons. They want to support Donald Trump. Because right now, if this was just any other company selling any other widget product, you wouldn't buy it. True Social has had about $5 million in sales since it came out a few years ago. Meanwhile, tens of millions of dollars in losses. So it really doesn't even make any money. And yet Donald Trump, get this, his stake now is up to $4.5 billion after today. Now you would think, okay, Donald Trump, apparently you don't have enough money, perhaps to at least liquid money to pay some of these fines that are coming, you know, all that story. But here is a windfall. It's like you won the Powerball at a billion. Forget that. Trump just made $4.5 billion. It's not even his own money in terms of him putting it in, seeing it grow, investing in buildings or whatever, and it took many years. No, this is shareholders and investors coming in and bidding it up, and now Trump has this windfall of $4.5 billion. One problem, he can't sell it, not for 6 months. That's just part of the rules within the charter of this particular company. You can get it waived if you go to the board of directors and say, hey, you kind of know my story. I need to cash some of this in. I only need about $175 million, and this is $4.5 billion. Who's on the board of directors? His family. Not making this up. It's his sons, several former members of his administration. So I guess if he really wanted to, he would get the board to say, yeah, we're going to forget about that lockup period of 6 months and you can cash out. I have no idea what he is going to do. I just get back to my original recommendation is don't let politics sway your investing decisions ever. It rarely works. I would like to think that most people investing in this stock already kind of know it. I think what you're seeing is just this frenzied idea of trying to support Trump in his legal need. It's strange to me, and I'm not trying to be personal here, getting into personal politics, but we've never seen anything like this in politics at all, where one man can come out and say, I've got these golden tennis shoes I'm going to sell. I want to buy them for thousands of dollars. I've got these trading cards. I'm going to buy them all. Well, they're not going to be worth anything. I don't care. I want to support them. And that's what we saw with the stock today. I cannot wait to see how this thing turns out. I think if he wins the election in November, you could really see this thing actually make some money for a while, but it's going to have to start. The company itself is going to have to make money. And every analyst report that I've seen of this, there just doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, one more thing. At the end of today, guess what is the most shorted SPAC on the market heading into today? It was that one. Some of your big institutional players are going to try to make money by getting this stock to go down. This is going to be fun to watch from the sidelines. We shall return.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, you know, we've all done it as investors. You do your homework, your research, you buy a stock, an ETF or whatever, and then things change. But what do you do with that? Do you admit, yeah, the story's changed, so maybe I need to sell this? Or are you stubborn to say, nope, this is what I believed a year ago, 2 years ago, and I'm not changing my mind? How you answer that will determine your success as an investor. That's the topic in the newest Simons Says podcast that I release on YouTube every Wednesday morning. But this is the latest one that will be released tomorrow morning. So you Camo X listeners are getting a sneak preview this evening. Here it is. One of the biggest mistakes that we collectively as investors make all the time is not admitting to our mistakes. Not admitting when we've been conquered by the market, not admitting that we're wrong and we need to cut our losses and move on. And it's not just individual investors. Professional investors, market strategists, economists also fall into this trap. The people who I really admire and follow a lot are those who aren't afraid to change their mind and say, look, things changed. What I believed a year or two ago is not true anymore. Maybe I wasn't even wrong. Maybe I have been right, but now the facts change and I'm going to change with them. In fact, one of the great quotes of all time when it comes to economics and investing was uttered by the economist John Maynard Keynes when he said, when the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir? This is the act of hubris here. Sometimes many people will say, I'm not wrong. The market is wrong. Everyone else is an idiot. Everybody doesn't even know what's happening here. I do. I'm the smart guy. And eventually, you're all going to learn your lesson. That just drives me crazy. It kind of makes me laugh, as a matter of fact. So why do I say that? Because I'm going to tell you about a personal example of something that I have just recently, in the last year or two, changed my mind on something that I was adamant about 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I pounded the table on it. I would talk about it on my radio show. I've written about it over the years on my commentary, and now I'm doing a 180. It's not so much that I was wrong back in the day, because I was right, but I haven't put my feet in cement and not changed as the facts have changed. So what am I talking about? China. So we'll go back about 20 years or so. And China at that point, in fact, this had been going on for a while. I was really fascinated by what was happening in China at the time, in the 90s and certainly in the 2000s and into the 2010s. It was interesting to me and fascinating to me how you could take a communist country, still politically a communist country, the largest communist country in the world, and yet adopting Western-style free market capitalism. It was an interesting dance between the two, and they made it work somehow. And I just thought, that's really interesting. Now, you still couldn't go out on some soapbox on the street corner and talk about how terrible the Chinese dictators are, because you would disappear. So they still had that. But in terms of being able to start a business, becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business, eventually maybe even getting your shares listed, not just on the Chinese stock exchange, but over in the U.S. This was happening, and I was just fascinated by it. And then you looked at what was happening with hundreds of millions of people. That's not an exaggeration for a country over a billion people, but hundreds of millions who are leaving the rural farming community and coming into bigger cities. And now their economy, you know the history, I'm sure, of this. Their GDP growing at 8, 9, 10, 12% without creating a lot of inflation. It was a modern miracle. So when this was going on, I would tell people, you know what? I wish I was in my 20s again, I would say. Because if I was starting out investing, I would still do my regular investing through the 401k, and I'd have probably my S&P 500 fund, and then I would, you know, complement that maybe with a small cap fund, some international, maybe even some boring old fixed income to give me some stability, just a traditional allocation. But over here, and it probably has to be outside of my 401k because they wouldn't have had it available, but in my taxable money that I had, and I was doing my own investing, if I had that extra money, every month I would just add what I could into some small little China ETF fund. I'm not trying to pick Chinese stocks. Now, I'm not saying this today. This is what I was saying 20 years ago, as I was recommending to clients when they would say, my adult son now, he's in his 20s and he wants to get started on investing. And, you know, we're thinking 30, 40 years. And I'd say, oh, my gosh. Tell him or her that he needs to take a portion of his money and blindly just start putting money into something in China, because eventually it's inevitable. China is going to be the number one economic superpower. But the seeds of the problem started to grow back in about 2012 or 13. Nobody knew it at the time. I certainly didn't. But it's when President Xi Jinping took over power. Xi is basically an old line communist. It's obvious that he didn't like what was happening in his country. So when he got in, he slowly started to gather power and started to push off some of these more modern thinkers, some of these Western thinkers, and gathered more of these hardline communists. We fast forward to today, to 2024, and you can see it's come full circle. Think about a guy like Jack Ma. Jack Ma, some of you may know who he is. He founded Alibaba, the big Chinese e-commerce company, basically the Chinese Amazon, and Jack Ma, basically the Jeffrey Bezos. He was fast becoming a billionaire. And President Xi and his communist people didn't like it. Too much attention, too much free power, and they reined it in. A few years back, we stopped hearing about Jack Ma. Now, I don't mean to insinuate that something happened to him. It didn't. He's still around. Occasionally he'll make an appearance. But the message was clear. You need to back off or it's not going to go well for you. The stock greatly suffered because of it. Again, this is not a buy, sell, or hold recommendation. You could probably trade it and do okay with it. But clearly things have happened. So that gets us to this day. the real estate market became a mess. One of the things that was occurring back in the heady days of China is the government had no problem allowing banks to just give almost free credit, and I'm barely kidding about that, almost no interest loans to housing developers, to construction companies, and even people looking to buy new homes. Perhaps you've seen these pictures, these cities that were built before anybody even moved there, and now they sit empty. A lot of unfinished construction projects, highways, it's almost eerie, like out of some dystopian movie, that are just empty and silent. The building stopped. What President Xi and his cohorts did is they started to demand higher credit quality for loans, which doesn't sound like a bad idea, but that killed the housing market. Even in capitalistic countries, when the government decides to totally take over something, it doesn't always end very well. And it certainly didn't in China. This occurred, as fate would have it, as the pandemic happened. Was there a country as large as China, or even really any country, that was as draconian as they were in shutting down their economy? I don't know what it was. You've probably all heard the stories, but I had a buddy, by the way, who was a traveling salesperson for his tech company, and he used to go to China all the time. And he unfortunately happened to travel over there in the beginning days of this. He had to stay in his hotel room. I think it was for 3 weeks. He was a prisoner. And when I say stay in his hotel room, I'm not kidding. He was not allowed to even go down to the lobby. They, with all their masks and almost hazmat suits, people would deliver food to his door, knock on it, practically run away, and then he could bring it in for about 3 weeks. That killed the economy, just as the Chinese were killing the housing industry to stop the building. And now we see all these numbers that were the economic powerhouse that once was, is a shell of itself. Now, I am not predicting the demise of China economically. They will survive this. They will. What I am saying is what I thought was inevitable 10 and 20 years ago is not anymore. And what I used to tell clients to tell their younger adults starting out, hey, man, if I wish I had the opportunity to invest in the U.S. post-World War II right off the bat in the late 40s, early 50s, and just kept investing in this huge expansion boom post-World War II, well, you're getting another chance in China. Doesn't exist anymore. I don't say that. If you want to trade it, that's fine. I make no recommendations. But the biggest thing, outside of the fact that the housing market, which was at one point a quarter of its economy, which has been basically decimated, was the domino effect. And communists and a lot of people who don't understand economics, the free market capitalistic economics, they don't understand the unintended consequences. They don't really know about the domino effect. They didn't really know that, oh, yeah, we'll just shut the whole economy down to try to save people from the pandemic. People still died from it, from the coronavirus. And we'll also kill the housing economy, but we'll still tell people to go out and spend money on other things. Duh. So consumer confidence has also been decimated. But here's the number one thing. Demographics. We all know about Japanese demographics and how basically of all developed countries, they're the oldest. And that has caused a deflationary problem for them for a lot of years. Only recently has everything started to pick back up again. It's happening exponentially in China. China today has about 1.4 billion people. A few years ago, a number of years ago, the people who study this said because of their one-child policy that they had in place for decades, it finally caught up to them. And now, as the Chinese population got older, they didn't have enough kids to take over the numbers. So now it's coming down. It was estimated that at the end of this century, I doubt that anyone watching right now will be around at the end of the century. I kind of doubt that I will. But at the end of the century, the Chinese population will only be about 600 million. And it's 1.4 billion now. They just updated that. Based on new data, it's actually worse than they thought. And so now they're saying by the end of the century, it will barely be above 500 million. Assuming that we won't have some kind of demographic crisis in our country, it's possible, believe it or not, that we could have more people than China after we're all gone, but that's the trend line. Would you have ever thought at any time that that could have happened even for 100 years from now? So I get back to how I started this. Don't be afraid to say, the facts have changed. I may not have been wrong, but the facts tell me if I don't change, I will be wrong. This even gets down to something as simple as, I bought a stock a year or two ago, and it's been a dog. But I'm not going to sell it until it gets back up to what I paid for it. You know what you're telling yourself? You cannot take a loss. There's that pride. There's that ego there that's getting in your way. Whenever I hear that, I always ask somebody, well, if you didn't own it, would you buy that stock today? Oh, heck no. Man, it's like a thorn in my side. I wish I had never heard of it. Then why are you still keeping it? You did the best job you could. You did your research. You thought it was a good stock. It turned out not to be. Sell it if you wouldn't buy it and move on. It's okay to admit to making a mistake. You will make many over the course of your lifetime as investors. Just stick with your game plan, learn from your mistakes, continue to ride your winners as far as they'll take you, and it's okay to pare back once in a while and never be afraid to say the facts have changed and I need to change along with them.
All right, that's the latest Simon Says podcast. I'm overdue for a break. Let me take it and I'll come back and kind of remind everybody how to access those podcasts and then get to some other things. Stay with us. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been a year, but it was. It was March of 23 when I decided, or actually kind of got permission from compliance that I could start having a podcast. It's a natural for my original background being in the media and then also hosting these shows, but taking what I do for a living the last 30 years, combining it with my love of the media and the ability to communicate and finally getting permission to do so. So what you heard just now, obviously just the audio portion, but it is a video. It's on YouTube. And occasionally, like when I was talking about Jack Ma, I would put up some pictures of Jack Ma, and I put up pictures of these empty Chicago. Where did Chicago? CH. I was going to say China, but somehow Chicago just naturally flowed on my tongue here. Those empty buildings and roads and highways in China, and we'll put up pictures of that. Other times I'll put up graphs and charts and things like that to make it somewhat visually appealing. But I'd release those every Wednesday. So the one that you just heard now, that's the first time that it's gone public. It will come out on the YouTube channel tomorrow. So how do you find it? I think we've now done 35 of these, 35 quick hits. And you go to YouTube, obviously.com, and in the search bar, you would just put Simon's Says Podcast or Simon Says. Yeah, I guess it would be Simon Says Podcast, not Quick Hit. Make sure you get Simon's right, though. There is an S on the end. Some people say, well, I couldn't find it. I put in Simon Says. No, I know. That's the child rhyme, but I play off of it because of my last name, right? Simon's Says. And you'll see it. It'll be a little caricature of me and my bald head and with a microphone and click on that. I don't know where we are in total views, but as of a couple of weeks ago, we went over 100,000 views for everything that I posted up there. And I've got some really excited things planned for a few months from now, some things that I want to expand. Right now, it's pretty basic. I'm trying to learn this whole concept of podcasting, what works, what doesn't. And so I'm really looking forward to kind of getting this thing morphed and taking it to the next level. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you wouldn't, please mind, do me a favor when you're on there and you subscribe and hit like and all that stuff. That just keeps this thing alive a little bit. All right. Kind of on the same thing that I was talking about with China, and it's like a duh moment that when you kill a housing market and you don't let people out of their homes during the pandemic and you wonder, oh, why is our economy suffering so much? And, oh, by the way, we've had this one-child policy in place for decades. We don't have it anymore. But for some reason, people don't really want to come out and have 3, 5, 8 kids like we're wanting them to. It's like, are you kidding me? Did you not see this? I'm reminded of that when I see the story about the minimum wage in California set to go up next week to $20 an hour, the most in the country. That is a 25% increase. Look, I'm not going to get into the debate about the efficacies of even having a minimum wage and what it should be set at. All right, let's just, it is, we have a minimum wage, we have a federal minimum wage, and then states and municipalities can set their own, either keep it that or you know, make it higher. Well, California is the highest now, about to take place at $20. That is an increase of 25%. Can anyone look at that and say, this is not going to go well? It's one thing to raise the minimum wage by, let's say, inflation. And inflation's been pretty hefty, but it's not 25% in 1 year. And that's what's happening here. So predictably, hundreds, actually thousands of jobs now are being cut in the fast food industry in California. Huh, didn't see that coming. Franchisees for Pizza Hut and Round Table Pizza, and the latter is a chain of around 400 units. Just those combined have said they plan to lay off about 1,300 delivery drivers this year. In San Jose, the owner of two Vitality Bowls restaurants now runs his stores with only two employees versus four workers that he typically used in the past. That means it's going to take longer to make his customers' orders. And he's also, get this, raising prices by about 10% to help cover the increased labor costs. So even though he's going from four employees per restaurant down to two, he still then has to increase the cost of food, not just to keep up with inflation, but labor costs as well. That's according to the owner. This is also happening according to the report from McDonald's, Chipotle, Jack in the Box. The problem is, you think the franchise owner of a Jack in the Box has a yacht somewhere? These are really low margin businesses. And when you are forcing them overnight to increase the labor cost by 25%, while they've been trying to keep costs not going up as much as inflation as much as possible, and then you throw that on, the very people you're trying to help are now getting fired. The very people that you're trying to help because they live on the edges of society are now also having to pay higher at these fast food restaurants because of the increased prices. I don't understand why people in charge of these things, legislators and politicians, don't understand basic economics. And we're seeing it play out in real time in California. Get ready to hear more stories like this. We'll be right back.
I'm Scott Jagow. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Oh, parting is such sweet sorrow. And my friends, I don't know when I'm going to return because of obviously the Cardinals season getting underway here very shortly. So I don't know when I'll be back for At Your Service. And even the Dollars and Cents show on Sunday will be few and far between. But I'll be here at some point. Looking forward to the next time. By the way, while I'm sitting here the last couple of hours, all of a sudden I'm getting achy. My muscles are getting achy, and I'm getting this headache. Now, everybody in KMOX just rushed out the door here because they think, like, I have COVID all of a sudden. No, come on back. Come on back. I figured this out, all right? I know what it is, and I'm an idiot here. So I went to the doctor's today, just a regular annual checkup. Everything was fine. And the doctor said, you know, we've talked about this for a few years, but I don't think you've ever done it. Did you ever get your shingles shot? I thought, no, I guess I haven't. He said, yeah, I mean, I would recommend it. You don't want to get shingles. And I, all of a sudden, the picture of Tony La Russa popped into my mind when he had it a number of years ago. Remember those pictures? Oh my gosh. He had it around like one of his eyes. And there was even talk that the Cardinals manager at the time might like lose his eyesight because of it. It was that serious. He was a mess. He had to check himself out for a while. And I thought, yeah, I don't want that. So the doctor even said, yeah, you might want to think about getting your shingles shot. I said, okay, yeah, I guess I get an appointment. He goes, no, you can do it now. I'll bring the nurse back in, and it's two shots. You can get it today. You have to wait at least 2 months. So let's maybe look at bringing you in sometime in early June, something like that. Great. Folks, I can handle anything. I have an iron stomach, an iron body, if you will. I can eat anything. It doesn't bother me. I get shots, you know, I've got the COVID shot and booster, no effects at all. So, you know, I'm feeling good about myself. When the nurse says, okay, now, here's the deal. You're going to want to probably take some Tylenol. I'm like, yeah, right. I don't need Tylenol. And I said, actually, I was dressed in running gear, my running outfit. She goes, oh, are you going to like, she said something about, aren't you cold? And I said, because obviously today was cold. And I said, well, no, as soon as I get done here, I'm going to go up and run 7 miles this morning. She said, I don't know if I would do that right after this shot. I said, no, I'll be fine. I even told her, I got an iron body, got an iron stomach. Okay, but you're going to have to really drink a lot more liquid than you usually drink. Again, an idiot, you know. No, I'll be fine. So I actually forgot. I really did. I forgot to do the Tylenol. And so as I'm sitting here in the studio chair and I'm starting to get achy and get a headache, duh, should have listened to the nurse. Should have listened to the doctor. I'm glad I got the shot. But I can't wait to get home. And yes, I will be popping some Tylenol and hydrating big time before I wake up in the morning. All right, let's end on this. You knew this was going to happen. Gambling is everywhere, including in sports now. The old horse is out of the barn door, cat out of the bag, toothpaste out of the tube. Use whatever cliche you want, but it's happening. And now you're going to start to hear more stories like this. Did you see this? Where is it here? Jonte Porter. Jonte Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors. It looks like he might be in trouble. The league is investigating two specific games where there was increased betting interest on the under for several of on Porter's statistics. Let me explain. The first one, January 26th, his Toronto Raptors were taking on the LA Clippers. Porter only played 4 minutes, and then he had to leave due to an eye injury that he had sustained a few games earlier. So Porter finished with no points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, didn't even attempt a three-pointer. And if you bet on the under on all 4 of those, you did a parlay, you won big. In fact, here's the deal. That was the biggest money winner for bettors on all NBA games that particular day. And by the way, Porter is an also-ran. He's not like his older brother. Porter is like a two-way player. He goes down to the D-League, comes back up. He's only played like, I don't know, 20-some games. He's only averaged 4.4 points a game, only 3.2 rebounds, and yet more people bet on him. This also-ran bench warmer on January 26th. Why? Somebody knew that he was going to have to leave the game. It happened again on March 20th. The Raptors playing the Phoenix Suns. Porter played in just 3 minutes before he was ruled out due to an illness. He finished with no points, 2 rebounds, a missed shot. The under hit on all 3 of those categories, and again, it was the top moneymaker on the night for all NBA games through DraftKings. Coincidence? Again, keep this in mind, too. On these kinds of bets, you can only do typically $2,000 max per bet. So many people were trying to bet on this, and up to $20,000. So people didn't even know what they were doing were trying to put half their life savings into this. Can we say the league is now investigating and Mr. Porter is not playing? Expect more about this to come out. I'm telling you, especially at college, not from the big boys and girls who are already making good money, but from these also-rans as well. Make it a great week, a very blessed Christmas weekend, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.